This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So if you guys listened to our last episode in the very beginning, you would have heard that I just had my first pop-up. It's true. It's true. It was five days ago. If you were there, I know none of you were there because nobody lives in Orlando. But it was in downtown Orlando, and it was a great time. If you guys want to know how it was a great time. I sold like 40 books. A lot of people came out. A lot of fun. Got a lot of pictures. I haven't posted any.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, this man is different come out me one day. Because he has the most monumental time of his life and then doesn't post any evidence anywhere.
It's like I fully hired a photographer and videographer and I have not published anything that he sent me. And he showed me he didn't send it to me yet, but he showed me like the like short kind of documentary-esque kind of 2-minute clip that he made of the event, and it was so good. I loved it. Like, there was this one question he asked me when we were standing outside. He was like, "Oh, how'd you get into poetry?" And like, I was answering the question, but he overlaid it on like different clips of the event, you know what I'm talking about?
So
like, it sounded kind of like a voiceover of me answering the question, like how I got into poetry. And I started saying like, "Oh, like my friend from high school got me into it, blah blah," and I ended it with saying like, "Oh, my friend suggested that I come into poetry club," but I was like, "No, fuck, I look like writing poetry," and then like it stopped there, and then like the whole like essence of like the night started. It was really cool. It was really cute.
It was like a trailer to the movie.
Yeah, it might come out. I don't know if I want to post it. But
it's dropping.
I got some pictures on my TikTok. Posted a little TikTok. You want to know how it was? But it was great. Thank you guys for. None of you guys came, but it's okay. Thank you guys for listening.
No, but don't make it seem interest. Like it wasn't popping. There was like hundreds of people there.
Whoa.
Oh, sorry.
She said
40 books were sold. You signed copies. You act like people didn't come through.
Yeah, it was fun. Fun time. What about you?
I couldn't pop in, you know, because I live in New York. And honestly, like, even if I did try to pop in, this man changed the date literally last minute. So if I had bought tickets, it would have been changed.
Yeah.
But I did go to Orlando 2 days after his pop-up.
That
and
is
I just
what
came
you
back.
Did this past weekend.
And it was a lot of fun. You guys know that I've been dealing with some burnout, but it was nice to see Mashnoon and his family. And
what was your favorite part about the trip?
When we played basketball together.
Really?
Yeah. And
we
like
played for
Yola.
Like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was the highlight.
I almost crossed you over. You're about to slip and fall.
No. We got video evidence. Ankle. This man tried so hard to win, but I won.
I got to break it to you. I wasn't trying. <don't know>.
But yeah, it was a nice trip. I landed back in New York and it was 20 degrees. So that was not that great, but it was nice. Welcome back to real life. But anyways, welcome back to Difficult Dish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. I am Mahua.
And I am Mashnoon.
So today we kind of just wanted to rant, you know. We wanted to talk a little bit about some of the experiences that we've gone through. And these experiences have really made us pissed off. But the thing is, we've been very silent through it all, and we don't know why. So when we say experiences, that means we've gone through different acts of racism towards us, different microaggressions that we've dealt with,
ignorant people in
general.
Yeah,
some ignorant
who don't know what they're saying,
happened.
Who think they're saying the right thing, but they're not.
Yeah.
Who don't understand how stupid
basically
they sound.
Basically just like not speaking up in light of injustice. And we're like, why the hell did we not speak up, you know? But you know how sometimes things just shock you so much to the point where you just don't know what to say or how to respond? And later on, like hours later or days later, you're like, ah, shit, like this would have been the perfect comeback, you know? So that's what we've been dealing with. And we've been talking about it together. So we wanted to kind of open it up to the floor. But yeah, we got a few things to talk about.
I was just on Twitter and I was going through a Twitter page that was just a bunch of school fights, right?
This man just told me that he was watching school fights for 30 minutes on the clock.
And it's really interesting because nobody ever breaks up fights. And I guess part of it is just nobody wants to get hurt or like get like physically involved and like maybe they could get punched or something. But I think in general, like it happens just kind of so suddenly and nobody expects it. And then kind of like what you were saying, they just kind of stand there in shock and don't know the right thing to do. And that kind of happens to us sometimes for various reasons. I mean, I have one thing that I'm gonna bring up. You got multiple things you're going to bring up, but and we both have different reasons for why we didn't say anything. So it just kind of depends. But yeah, let us know if you guys like episodes where we just talk about random shit. Yeah, okay.
Also, I've been getting a lot of comments on my voice. Y'all like my voice or something. Yo,
it's nice.
You agree?
You got a pretty voice. You should do your own podcast. Should do your own podcast.
Hey, welcome back to Mahua Khan's podcast.
Different.
No, but yeah, so I've been thinking about this word or this ideology. Model minority myth. Y'all heard of that?
What is that?
Well, I had to explain it to Mashun the other day. But basically, the model minority myth is the assumption or the stereotype that all Asian Americans or all, well, not all, but people of color are essentially quiet. They're very well-mannered. They don't speak up. And there's a stereotype that we're all very quiet and that we will always behave well and that we're all good students. And so it was making me wonder, is that why Mashun and I stood silent in some situations? Is that why some Asian Americans feel like they can't speak up because people already have this stereotype of them in their head? Or is it because we live in a society that is very white dominated and people think that if we do speak up, it doesn't really matter because their opinion or their voice is going to matter more than us, you know?
Right.
So I've been thinking about that a lot. And I know we started this off like very serious, but I think putting that out there is a very important thing to think about before we actually start our rant, because it's such an interesting concept that so many people still, you know, adopt in the society. And it's like Mashun and I didn't really fit in that mold of Asian Americans who did that well in school. And it's just so crazy because there's so many people who don't fit into that stereotype, but yet we're characterized as like this really obedient, you know, ethnicity or race or culture group, when in reality, it's not like that, you know?
I think it's like, I might have said this, I don't know what episode, but it was something along the lines of like, you know, white people have been in this country for centuries, whereas like people from Bangladesh, people from the Philippines, people from different countries from literally across the world, they just got here, you know? And when you just get here, like when you're like the new kid at the school, like how many new kids at the school are like the class clowns? You know, they're just trying to play it safe. They're just trying to like be okay in like this new setting. They're not trying to act out. They're not trying to bring light or attention to them. Even if they do have a lot to say, it's just kind of like maybe just not their time yet. Whereas like white people have been in this country, like their families who have gone to like the same school for generations after generations, whereas like we don't have that kind of stuff. And of course that doesn't correlate to every single circumstance, but I think as a whole, that may be why like just immigrants are a lot more soft-spoken, because they just kind of like don't want to get in trouble, you know? They don't really understand like how things go in America, you know?
Yeah, I also feel like children of immigrants, especially girls, I know in the South Asian community, girls are always taught to be silent and always taught to not speak up, because it's kind of characterized as disrespectful or being too, the word in Bangladesh, jalak, which is sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking up has always been disregarded and not really encouraged. So I think that's also a very big thing when you are an adult and you want to speak up in times of injustice, but you never were taught to, you know? You were always kind of shamed for doing that. And I don't want to say that, like, my parents ever called me out for speaking out, because I am very vocal. But it's still very interesting that at sometimes I just feel so stuck and I feel like what I say like won't be taken seriously, especially when it's in real life, you know?
But I think with this type of stuff, it's kind of like, you know, it's like that one saying, I think Mike Tyson said it. It's like, everybody has a plan until they get like punched in the face, you know? Mm-hmm. And so obviously not the same thing, but it's like, you know, no, we can express that like we're this type of person and we're very outspoken. And until it's kind of like the time comes for that to actually be tested, then we kind of like get nervous and we notice that like it's not necessarily the spotlight is on us, but it's kind of like, I said that to say, after the first time or after the few times of you do it, then it becomes kind of second nature, you know? So as for you, I know you're a very outspoken person about like the type of stuff that you represent, but maybe when a certain scenario or situation comes up where you have to prove that, you might be a little bit slow because like that hasn't like happened to you much yet, mm-hmm. where people have like straight on like, what's the word I'm looking for? They haven't like straight on, not questioned, but you know, you get what I'm saying. Like you can kind of talk about, like the kind of stuff that you're going to bring up. But
yeah,
I think it's like, it's just repetition. It's just kind of practice to get better at this type of stuff.
Yeah. So there are two incidents that I want to talk about. Mashun and I have already talked about this. I vented to him and he complained to me about what happened the other day. And basically, I was just telling him how I feel kind of like a fraud, because in the situations that I'm going to talk about right now, you know, if I was like on social media, I am very vocal. I feel like I bring a lot of representation and I give a voice to a lot of women that don't have it, or even South Asian people or people of color, any gender. And I feel like I'm very outspoken and I'm really proud of that. But in these situations, I just felt so like shocked and I felt so small and I didn't really know how to speak up, and that's why I felt like a fraud, because I really wanted to say something but I ended up not. And one of the situations that I'm going to talk about, I've talked about in a few episodes very briefly, but I just wanted to talk about like how I felt in the situation and like how I reacted, even though I shouldn't have reacted that way. Yeah. So one of them that happened to me about, I think like last month, I was basically at school. I was having my lunch break in the teacher's room. And this white substitute lady came in, sat next to me, whatever. And she was talking to me. And she was basically really shocked by the fact that I was Bangladeshi. And she just didn't understand how I could be Bangladeshi, considering I look modern. In her, in her words, she said I look too modern to be Bangladeshi. And basically, she kind of said that, well, she didn't kind of, she said it. She was like, oh, but Bangladesh is so backwards. You're so beautiful to be Bangladeshi.
Was she white? I forgot.
Yeah, she was white. She's from Israel.
Oh, goodness gracious.
She said all of these racist things about Bangladesh. And I didn't really know how to react. I kind of just wanted to be patient with her and just like say it nicely, even though I shouldn't have been nice to her. I think the reason why I said it nicely to her was because first I was in a work setting and I didn't want to create a sort of disruption in the setting. Two, I didn't really know what her intention was. Like, was it her just genuinely not knowing what she was saying, or was it just her being rude? Like, I didn't know. And then three, I just like didn't know what to say, you know? So basically, like in that moment, I was just very shocked. And I also, like, what she was saying was very racist, you know, but it didn't register in my brain. And like, I can't even say like all the things that she said, because there's just so much stuff, you know, it's more than what I'm saying right now. And I didn't realize how bad the situation was until I told Mashun about it later that day. And like, after I realized what happened, you know, I was like, bro, like, she shouldn't have said that to me and I shouldn't have been nice to her. And even Mashun, like, he was like, you know, why didn't you say something? Like, you should have put her in her place. And usually I am that type of person. I'm very hot-headed for things like that that are, you know, very important to me. But in that moment, I didn't. And I just felt stupid after. I was like, well, why the hell did I just let that slide, you know? Like, she was literally coming at my appearance. She was coming at the beauty of people in Bangladesh. She was coming at Bangladesh as a whole. She was coming at so many different things. And I don't know. I think I just felt like little in front of her and I didn't say anything. And I still feel so stupid about it, you know? It's so weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you were also at school and, you know, school is your profession. Like, that's your career. And maybe you just, maybe it was where you were, you know, if you were in a place that was a little bit more comfortable, if you were like outside at a coffee shop and somebody just came up to you and said that, I'm sure that you would be more inclined to say something. So maybe that's something that you can take into account. You know, it's like a, bro, it's like last weekend we saw Will Smith slap the shit out of Chris Rock.
Yeah, and, he should.
And Chris Rock didn't, you know, he didn't do anything. And, it, you know, there are like different reasons to like why people think he didn't do anything. But like one of them is like, you know, that's the Oscar. That's the biggest stage in the world. What does he look like just being unprofessional and like, you know, if he goes back there and just like slaps him back, like how does that make Chris Rock look, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
Chris Rock's like, he gets money from like being on like Zootopia 4, you know, like, and his movies and his voiceover. So like, why is he gonna jeopardize that for like some pride and some ego? Even if like, you know, in my opinion, I think Will Smith was a little out of pocket with what he did. And
I don't think he was out of pocket.
You don't think so?
You wouldn't do the same thing for your wife?
Hold on. No, you can't. See, you got to slow down.
No, you literally told me that you do the same thing for me.
No, I would, but that's not me saying that it's the right action. It's still the wrong action.
Oh, okay. Like you do it backstage.
No, I would have done the exact same thing Will Smith has done, but either me doing it or him doing it, it's still wrong. That is not the right way to go about it. Anyways, it's my point is, you know, maybe the school. Maybe you were at school.
You know what I also think it is? I think I make a lot of excuses for people. Like, I always see the best in people. So my assumption was, okay, maybe she just didn't say her thoughts in the right way. Maybe she was just curious. Yeah. Like, maybe she... Because she was older. She was probably in, like, her 50s or 60s, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she's probably a grandma. Yeah. So maybe, like, you know, that generation just... They aren't, like, slick with the way they say their words, like how we are. You know, they're not, what's the word? Like, they're not sensitive to words or the way, I don't know. But so that was my thinking, you know? I was like, okay, maybe she's just curious. But then I was like, bro, screw your curiosity. Like, I shouldn't be the one to coddle you and teach you in this way. Like, I'm not going to be a stepping stone for your curiosity. I don't know. I'm just still very pissed off about it. And I was telling Mashu, and I was like, yeah, I feel like a fraud. And do you remember what you told me?
What?
You were like, oh, after this situation, because I'll talk about the other situation later. But you were like, after this situation, you can use it as a learning tool and you're going to realize more in the future what you have to do and how you should react. Because since I've never really had these direct forms of microaggressions or racism, at least at my age right now that I can remember, I've never really, like, I don't really know how to deal with it when it happens, but since now I kind of know the situations and I've like understood how I should react, I can kind of assess the situation better in the future, you know? Like, now I know exactly how to react and how I would want my ideal self to react.
For sure.
Yeah. You want to talk about your situation?
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man. So boom. I was in class yesterday. 3 p.m. class, business climate analysis, UCF, University of Central Florida.
Mm.
And I was in class and I have a group in this class, right? Three girls in the class. One of the girls actually just broke her vertebrae, so she's not coming to class anymore.
Why did you mention that though?
Just to give extra context to my listeners.
Yeah.
And so it's just me and these two other girls, right? I won't name drop, just out of politeness.
No one asked you to.
Okay. So boom, we're chatting it up, whatever. We're talking, and the two girls that are in my group, they both have boyfriends that live in like the Pacific Northwest, and they were just kind of talking about like the culture in like, you know, Oregon and Washington and places like that. One of my groupmates was like, "Oh,
wait, you gotta drop the ethnicities of these girls."
Right, that's coming.
Let me, you know.
Roll into it. So one of the girls is white, one of the girls is black. Boom, easy to remember.
Boom.
So Black girl is saying, oh, like the food over there, it's not, you know, just very American. They don't have too many like cultured kind of foods. And then white girl, this sparks a drastic memory from her head. Where now
it rung a bell.
White girl goes, oh, that reminds me. Last weekend I ate at an Ethiopian restaurant and it was really good. And, you know, now we're listening. We're listening to what she has to say. And white girl goes, yeah, like, you know, their main dish is like this really big crepe. And then they have like these different dishes that are like potatoes and lentils and all these different spices. And it's literally some of the best food I've ever had. It was so ethnic and it was so spicy. And now I'm just like, okay, like, you're starting to say a lot. I'm saying this in my head. I'm not saying that to her. But I'm just like, you're starting to say a lot. But I keep listening. And then she hits me. She hits us. She hits me and Black Girl with, you know, if you guys are into like ethnic foods, if you guys are into culture foods, you know, spicy foods, you know, I think you guys should try it out.
We ain't never had that.
She's like stone faced, like very serious. She's like, I love spicy food. You know, and my spice tolerance is real high. So I loved it. And if you guys love ethnic food too, you should try it. And now,
you know what? Do you remember what I said after you told me that story? I was like, what? She definitely heard you guys talking about how that place has no culture. So then she was trying to outdo both of you, the black girl and the brown boy, with culture.
So this just got me thinking, right? So let me just finish up. So I she says this, and me and the black girl like don't say anything. We're just kind of looking at her, and that was like the end of the conversation. Like, and same kind of thing with you. Obviously not the same like thing that was said to us, but I didn't know what to say, because in that essence, it was obvious that like this girl does not understand like what comes with like being a person of color. She thinks it's like we've lived the same lives, but I'm just like darker skin color. Like, she doesn't understand that the lifestyles might be different. And this is not like a disrespectful girl. This is a very cool girl. She's nice. She's cool. So I was really shocked that she said this, and I didn't say anything, right? And so I was talking to you later on, and you know, what would you have done in this situation?
I honestly don't know. I think I'd just be shocked and I like wouldn't say anything.
Exactly. That's kind of where I was. I was just in shock because I really realized just, again, certain white people just think the only difference is the skin color. This girl is telling me, she is looking me in the eye and she's telling me, if you like cultured food, try out Ethiopia. You know what Ethiopian food is? We had it. Ethiopian food is what she was talking about. She's literally talking about ruti and
dal. Why'd she say crepe?
Because she doesn't know what ruti is. She doesn't know what that is. She's called it a crepe.
I mean, I guess like the big thing it comes on is kind of like a crepe type.
But she showed me pictures. It was ruti and dal and ruti and alubaji. And I didn't want to just look her in the face and be like, hey, I had this for 18 years of my life, because I didn't want to be a dickhead, but I also didn't know how to politely educate this girl that she sounds so stupid right now.
But what do you think her purpose was in saying that? Like, did she just want to like fit in with the convo because she felt left out, or do you think she just like wanted to be like, oh yeah, I'm cultural too?
You
like,
see, there
I'm
are different
white
there,
girl.
There are different shades to the white people, right? There's a spectrum to it. The spectrum that she's in the zone, in the realm of white people, where like she's a cool person, but she thinks she knows so much more than she actually does about what diversity is, about what it means to be a person of color, about the struggle and the lifestyles of people who are not white. You know, she just doesn't get it. Not that she's ignorant to it.
It's like the superficial level.
She's not ignorant. She's just unaware. She just
naive.
Has no idea.
Yeah,
and
she was just naive.
She was just talking to us like we were white people, you know?
You know what it reminds me of? I think I told you about this like a while ago, but it's like those white New York City bloggers and TikTokers who always show their luxury apartments and like New York City and these beautiful aspects, right?
Yeah.
And then people are complaining saying like, oh, show New York City for like what it is, which is poverty and gentrification, all that. And white people think it's we're asking for them to show like the trash.
Construction.
Literally. It's like just so surface level and just completely missing the point.
And you know, it's like, obviously there's cool white people. There's very cool. My sister dates a dope white guy. I won't say dope. I mean, he's cool. Yo, if you listen. He's cool. That was mean to me. He's really cool. But there are white people that just piss me off. And I ask my listeners, what would you have done in this situation? Because
comment below.
You know, if this girl said it in an ignorant way, I would have popped off, you know? Mm-hmm. But knowing
but you
that,
say
like,
that. You say that.
Nah, I would have. I would have. Okay. I know I would. Right. I mean, I wouldn't have popped off because, like, in general, like, I'm generally nice to people, especially girls. Yeah. Honestly, like, if it was a guy, I would have popped off. But like for girls, I'm not gonna be like a. I'm not gonna be mean to them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just didn't really know what to do in this situation, and it just kind of made me sad because you know, it just you know, one of my biggest kind of pet peeves, and biggest concerns in general is the thought that people think that just because, you know, we've done similar things and we have similar things mean we've lived similar lives. Mm-hmm. And I think that's my biggest thing that upsets me with white people is because they just don't get that the life is different.
And I don't want to generalize because I know there's a lot of white people that care a lot and they try their best to care. And I don't want to make it seem like there aren't any because I know a lot. But I'm just saying for the...
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
People that we've been accustomed to and for what like what we see on social media and people in general, it's just very surface level. Like even when white influencers are talking about political things, like about Ukraine, about whatever it is, it's just like very surface level and it's only like appeasing the masses, you know? Like they're not going to be talking about Palestine, they're not going to be talking about Syria. It's about the thing that they already know is getting supported.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like a message to all white people, like whether you're ignorant or not, you know, just because we both have nice apartments and we both have nice jobs does not mean that we've lived similar lives. We've lived different
lives. Say it louder.
We've eat different foods. We grew up eating spicy food. I grew up eating roti and dal. Just because you have it for the first time at 23 years old does not mean that I should go have it for the first time at 23 years old. You know, understand that the lives are different. The lives, the lifestyles, the way we grew up, very, very different. So if we have the same thing, that means that you're a little bit behind because we should not be having the same thing. White people should be having statistically more than us. But if you see we're on the same pedestal, just give me my props and give me my respect because I've had to work harder than you to get here. Mm-hmm. So don't treat it like it's the same.
Talk it.
That's all I got.
I got two things to say.
Ah, go for it.
But I thought I had only one more story left, but I actually have two.
I thought I had one more story? I have two.
Hey.
When this girl was here, I made her a bagel.
I knew you were gonna.
I made her a bagel with tuna spread and scrambled eggs. She ate the whole thing, and then you know what she says? I want another one. So I make this girl a second bagel. This girl is eating a second bagel with tuna and eggs.
Hey, don't spread lies.
You know what she says?
One side of the bagel.
You know what she says after the second bagel? I want cheesecake.
How can I resist the cheesecake? The cheesecake had welcome home on it with little hearts. Why would I
but
not
it's like,
eat
It's like, please, just two bagels and cheesecake. That's enough for a day.
And then I loved the tuna on the bagel so much. I came back to New York that same day, and I went straight to the, I went to two grocery stores to try to find that tuna, but I couldn't find it anywhere. So now I'm sad without my tuna. Now I'm just going to wait for Mashoon to come back again in New York.
Oh, you want me to bring the tuna on the plane? It was to bring tuna. It's literally tuna. It's literally tuna and mayonnaise.
You know this man once. You know this man once brought a lobster pasta on the train on the plane for me in his luggage.
Yeah,
just for me.
You remember TSA wanted to take it away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was fighting with them. It was like a scene out of a movie. I was trying to grab it from their hands.
Try.
They were trying to take it away from me. I said, no.
Anyway. All right, let me talk.
I'm sorry if my audio is weird. I'm holding my microphone in my hand. This is the first time
I've
ever
done this. Yeah, I don't know why this man wanted to hold it today.
No, honestly, I feel a lot more comfortable and casual. I think if this sounds good, if this sounds like ass, I'm sorry. But if this sounds good, you should try it out for the next episode. It makes things a lot more.
We'll see.
All right, sorry, continue.
All right, so there's two other situations. Long day, guys. I did a long day, full day of teaching today. No pay. Anyway, so y'all, you know, first graders are learning about cardinal directions. I heard that. Cardinal I was like, what the direction? Hell is cardinal directions? They're learning about sound waves. I don't even know about sound waves. All right. Anyway, so I was thinking about another situation, two situations. So the first one, let me talk about briefly. So I recently posted a reel on my Instagram. Y'all, I've been popping off on Instagram if you want to check it out.
She really has.
I posted a reel, and it's about basically I was at a gallery in February, I think, and I was looking at the art. Why are you smiling?
sorry, continue.
So I was looking at the art, and, you know, I wanted to take some picture of the art because art inspires me because I'm an artist.
Right.
And even then, I shouldn't have to explain myself. And I was also wearing three of my designs. You know, I was wearing my matching sweatshirt, my matching sweatpants. I was wearing my tote bag. Like,
Dan,
the whole
crazy.
Spiel.
Where can I get that?
Yo, labyrinthdev.com. I thought you'd never ask. But anyway, this white woman, like, I can see her from the corner of my eye. She's just standing there, like, snickering, you know? And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to pay attention to her. Like, she's probably just one of those, like, stupid-ass white ladies, you know?
Right.
And then she has the audacity. She comes up to me, and she was like, try looking at the art instead of taking pictures. And at first, I thought I heard wrong, right? She said something like that along those lines. I thought I heard wrong because I was like, there's no way this lady is saying this to me only right now. Because there's so many people in this gallery. Like, why is she only coming up to me? And then she said it again because I think I said what or something. And I remember, like, after she said it, I was just so shocked. And I didn't really know what to say. But the first thing that came to my head was, like, I did look at the art first. But it's also, like, that was the best I could come up with, you know? Like, you know when something happens and, like, you don't assess the situation because you're just so shocked and then you think of a better response, like, months later, basically?
Right.
But I thought of a better response and I should have been so much angrier because why the hell did she only come up to me? And then after I said that, I guess she kind of, like, was taken aback that I even responded because she probably thought I was, like, such a weak, like, brown girl, blah, blah, blah. And she, like, kind of, like, laughed to herself. Because she was probably just, like, shocked as well. But even though my response was weak, she was probably shocked that I even responded instead of just, like, walking away like she expected. And I was just so mad because, like, there's so many white people in this gallery. She's not speaking up to anyone else except me. And she's, like, assuming that I'm this, like, fragile girl that, like, needs opinions from her, you know? And I was just so mad. And I made this reel and I talked about how we should still take up space as brown people. We shouldn't back down. There are so many white people that are doing the same thing and they're getting so much credit for it. They're getting success from it, which means like posting or being an influencer or like whatever it is. But whenever we try to do the same thing, it's such a big problem. So I know it sounded very brave when I posted that reel and it sounded like I had all my shit together. But honestly, when that situation happened, like I was so mad, but I was also so shocked and taken aback that I definitely didn't have that mindset in that situation. So yeah, I wanted to bring it up because like I just wanted to say that like I'm also very human when it comes to things like this and I'm not always, you know, like speaking up for myself.
Just because you're not confrontational doesn't mean that
you're not like proud of the things that you represent. Like that's just this whole other entity that it's hard for people to become confrontational. It's either like you are or you're not, and it's something if you just grew up being accustomed to. And you know, just because you're not confrontational does not mean that you're not like a strong representation of the things that you enjoy. So
yeah, but I think these situations are really making me more aware and cognizant of the things that are happening, and just I know how to approach them later on, you know. Now, like I do think that I am confrontational. I like getting rid of any issues or tension when it happens, and I think it's just making me more and more tougher and braver with my words. So yeah, I guess you live and you learn, you know.
Let's do some role play. I'll be an annoying white lady and you just be yourself.
Oh wow, all that's right? What we're doing.
All right, pretend you're taking pictures of the artwork.
Okay, taking pictures.
Excuse me, I think you should look at the art instead of taking pictures of it.
I think you should go home and look in the mirror.
That's not what you would say. That's not at all what you
next
would say.
Next time, I'll just imagine all of these white ladies that come up to me. It's just you. You're so funny. Thanks. I posted TikToks with Mashoon, and so many people were like, oh my God, you and Mashoon are the same person.
No, we're not.
You agree or no?
No, not at all.
You agree or no?
You're a big silly goose and I'm a professional young lad.
If I'm a big silly goose, you know what you are?
Tell me.
You're the goose hen that freaking is birthed in Lake Yola.
What the hell are you saying? All right,
I won't bore you guys with the third story that I had, but it was something along the lines of me just standing by when I was just really infuriated.
She just said she wouldn't bore us with the story.
Huh?
No, nothing.
What'd you say?
No, nothing.
No, I had a third story. Oh, did you say that you wouldn't bore? No, I was just really infuriated. And I basically stood by instead of speaking up, even though I really wanted to. But I also didn't want to disrupt the power because it happened at my workplace at the school, my elementary school. I didn't want to disrupt the power and, you know, make it a bigger deal in front of the officials of the school.
Yeah.
But I was basically like there was this brown boy that was probably like in early elementary in fourth or fifth grade. He was speaking really lowly. One of the teachers were very disrespectful to him because of how low his voice was. And I really want to say something to defend him because, you know, I love my little brown kids. And I didn't say anything because it was like a school official that was talking to him like that. And I didn't want to, like, you know, be loud in that space, which also shows how, like, you don't want to be too loud in a white space because you feel like your voice won't be as bright.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, you know, I feel like a lot of the things that you say, like, I don't want to sound like a dick, but I feel like, I know that I would have said things in, like, all of those situations.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, like, these things that have happened to you, I hope that the next time, if something does happen to you, I hope you do, like, remember talking about it.
And I am.
You know?
I am. Yeah. All right, so we asked you guys for some situations that you guys were involved in, which involves microaggressions, acts of racism.
If you guys don't follow us on Instagram, it's difficultdish on Instagram. It's
at difficultdish on Instagram. It's
difficultdish. We have a lot of reviews. Keep reviewing us. Keep sending us ratings. If you guys love us, please tell us.
Yeah, give us a rating on Spotify. Like, all right, thank you so much for reviewing us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We really appreciate it a lot, and it doesn't take that much time if you want to do it. You want to pull up the responses we got?
Yeah. All right, I got a good one because I've definitely had this happen too. Quote unquote friends saying slurs to my face about me when they're getting comfortable. ... Not
that's
cool.
A good one.
You ever had that?
Yo, not slurs, because I don't know if I can really say that my culture gets slurs like that. I don't know. A lot of my friends are brown, so I doubt that there are slurs. But I know so many brown people that think that they have the audacity to say the N-word in front of other brown people, in front of black people. They think that they have this N-card like, right just because they have black friends. Bro, you are not allowed to say it. And, like, the fact is, there's so many Bengali brown boys in New York who think that they have this right. When, bro, like, you're sick in the head for that. You're sick in the head for that. In 2022, you're saying that with your whole chest. Like, for me, like, I will send it to your university.
Oh, wow.
Like, these are literally aspiring physicians, aspiring doctors, police officers, whatever they are, and they're saying the N-word.
It's crazy.
Disgusting. Disgusting. You got anything?
I mean, I can't think of slurs, but I definitely had, like, my quote-unquote friends back then, like, start making fun of me. I remember I used to have this one Moroccan friend. He used to just call me India. Like, my name would be India. Like, yo, India. And when I was, like, that young, like, obviously, I didn't care. But, like, it's not that I feared confrontation. It's just that, like, I just didn't really see that stuff as, like, an issue. You know?
Even though it is.
Like, exactly. Like, no, I'm old. I get that, like, it was stupid. But, I mean, also, we were, like, 13, 14. Not to, like, bring, like, age into it. But I definitely do have that a lot. And it's crazy. I mean, it doesn't happen anymore. But if you got friends that are doing that, bro, it's, you know, you are probably the best person to educate them about what they're doing wrong. Because, you know, if they're that comfortable with you to say stupid shit near you, they should be okay with hearing how stupid they sound from you. You know, so definitely don't be scared to raise your voice.
I think it's the hardest to actually say something to your friends or close group of friends that are saying this to you, because it's like, how do you speak up against your friends? You know, like, sometimes you are so close with the person where you feel like you can talk to them about anything, you can, you know, bring it up to them without any problem. But there's also those friends that, like, you can't bring it up to them because it feels like they're going to be very defending. They're going to be very defensive and not really hear you out. And you can't mention it to them because they're going to make you feel smaller and make you feel bad about the situation. So I feel like it's really hard to say those things to your friends, because I've definitely had situations where, I mean, I've been called this my whole life. I was always characterized as a dumb friend. And I think I'm really smart. Like, I literally graduated early. I have my master's, and I feel like a very big part of why I overcompensated all of the success that I have is because of those comments that I heard growing up from, like, my parents and friends. And it's just so hard to say something and speak up to your friends, because, like, they are supposed to be the ones that have your back and, like, they know you the best, but it's so hard to, like, actually say something, you know?
I mean, I don't relate at all. Because I'm the exact opposite, but I get it. You know, I totally get it. And I am proud of you for everything you've accomplished. You're not the dumb friend. You're the smartest friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know everything. You know about cardinal light, lighting, and sound.
What the hell did you just say?
I don't know. We got a couple more, but I'll just say one more. I threatened to smack a white racist kid at high school. Then I got reported to the police.
It's crazy how, like, there are, well, actually, I don't even know the validity of the statement, but, like, there are students that get very little punishment based on their skin color, especially high income areas. The students that are there, the white students, barely get any repercussion. Like, for example, like, you know, so many white kids that are literally accused of assault, of rape, so many different things, and they don't get anything because of the money that they have, because of their family status. But if you threaten to basically defend yourself against a racist comment or whatever it is, and you're a person of color, you're going to get friggin' the worst punishment before you even do anything, you know, which is crazy to me.
I think, like, not to bring up, like, the violence aspect, but I think it's like, you know, I think white people just over dramatize any, like, small inconvenience because they know that they just can. The fact that like you're calling the police because somebody threatened to smack you in high school, it's like only a really privileged white person would take
that extremity. Yep. If you, you know, for whatever reason, if you were,
people will believe them.
If you were actually like, you know, fearful and scared that like you were going to get hit, cool, like whatever. Tell like your teacher. Like, you're calling the police. The police have more important things to do than come to your high school. You know, it's like, they just over-dramatize everything. And I don't know what the skin color of the person who wrote that is, but it's like, you know, if a black kid threatens a white kid compared to if a white kid threatens a white kid, I swear that the percentage, the likeliness of them escalating the situation is probably a lot higher if the kid's black.
These white adults really act like first graders, because I literally have my first graders come up to me and be like, Miss Khan, he just took my pencil and said that he's gonna slap me. Are you in first grade? Like, why are you acting like that at 40 years old? Just because you know that the police is going to be on your side?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's crazy that, like, our skin color really determines just the punishment and our fate.
It do, huh?
Yeah, you got some 10-second advice.
No. I really don't.
I got.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go for it. Champ.
So, you know, I went to Orlando recently, came back yesterday. I actually haven't been on vacation since last August, which isn't that long. I went to Mexico in August for a wedding. And I know a lot of people don't even have the privilege to travel, but I used to love traveling. I used to go like every couple of months, you know. But I stopped because of the pandemic and just how much I was working. And I think, like, even talking to your sister, I was talking to Mashun's sister, and she travels a lot because she has a really good job and she deserves it, you know. And I think traveling is just such a luxury, but if you have the privilege to do it, it is such a nice way to celebrate your wins, because Mashun and I work really hard. Like, I work really hard without any break. I've been so burnt out the past few months. And that vacation, it did re-energize me, but it also just showed me that I deserve to celebrate the success that I have, and I don't have to just keep pushing and pushing. And I should take that break once in a while and just splurge, you know. Once in a while, I'm not saying every other day, but it's really nice to take a vacation and just kind of try my best to turn off everything and just turn off the stress for a little bit.
Yeah, I like that. I got one. I'll go more in depth in the next time that we talk about like making friends and stuff, because you know, as you know, I've made a couple friends in the last.
Yeah, we want to make a whole episode on making friends. We've been excelling in that field, nah?
But just one thing, one small thing is Don't be scared to go out to events by yourself.
Yeah.
And don't be scared if, like, if you go somewhere with a friend and then your friend has to leave early, that doesn't mean that you have to leave early. Just stay and try to talk to other people.
Well, that's also subjective, because I know when I feel anxious at events, I just leave.
Okay, I get that. I'm just saying, like, this is Mashun's advice, right? This is not
Mashun's
advice.
All right, go ahead.
I'm saying in the sense of, like, if you're just kind of, like, embarrassed of being there by yourself. You know, like, everybody is, like, embarrassed to go out by themselves because they don't want to seem like they don't have friends. I'm saying for, like, those people, like, just get over it. Like, you can make a lot of cool friends if you just go out to play by yourself. Just step out of your comfort zone.
You find like-minded people in like-minded areas.
Yeah, and we'll go more in depth with this. And
yeah, let us know if you guys want a more in depth episode on making brown friends and just getting out of your comfort zone with friends.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, Mashun had to record this in between.
I have a call in 2 minutes.
Yeah, but anyways, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It takes like 2 seconds, and Spotify. Yeah. Just leave us a 5 if you would like. Yeah. Follow us on Instagram. It's Mashun Munir and Labyrinth Ave and Difficult Dish.
Yeah.
And we love you guys so much. Thank you so much for supporting us extra lately.
Yeah.
All right. Thank we'll you see guys. You guys next week.
Kudafis.
I love this.
This isn't just a game. It's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.